The question was asked, how do we draw the line between pride, arrogance, self-worth? These are all important concepts. Where does it become something misguided? And the answer to this question is slightly complex because we are a difficult generation. 150, 200 years ago, people had natural, innate, healthy self-confidence and self-worth. And today, we are a generation where that's been eroded. For whatever reason, the last century has brought us a slew of mental illness, self-doubt, depression, issues where people are not at peace with themselves, where people lack the most basic, healthy self-worth and self-approval that are necessary to function normally and productively in society. And so the question becomes a central question, because today we're dealing with a situation where, if I could put it in simplistic terms, people don't love themselves. We're dealing with a situation where I don't know if a week goes by that I don't hear the sentence, "I can't stand myself." Now, this is a new phenomenon. Didn't used to exist. So the works of tshuva of yesteryear, of the previous millennium, of the last 9-10 centuries, all focus on how do I keep my healthy self-esteem in check, but not how do I ensure I have a healthy self-esteem, because that wasn't the issue. You with me so far? I don't see the point of exploring why this is so right now. Why is it that our generation suddenly has these issues? It's a worthwhile topic. I don't think we have to discuss it now. But we do have to understand for ourselves, at least, where should we strive to be? So I want to start maybe in the most important place, which is the self-confidence that a person needs. Very often in yeshiva, and as a person works on self-improvement, we're very focused on working on our humility, on ensuring that we're not arrogant, on ensuring that we have a true perspective on life. And I'm not sure that that's the course we should be taking. If you look at the letter I wrote that I gave out in the beginning of this week on the dating class, so the first two paragraphs focus on one point. Look at your accomplishments. Look at all you've done. Be realistic with yourself and be at peace with yourself. From here, we can talk about how you should date. But those are not obvious sentiments for our generation. We live at a time where most people are not at peace with themselves. How does one gain peace with oneself? So again, we're going to focus first on self-esteem, on self-worth. Later, we'll talk about balancing that with arrogance. A person has to be able to look at their accomplishments to see what they did right. And a person has to limit the amount that they are hard on themselves. We once had a student who couldn't function. He was a registered doctor, and he couldn't bring himself to practice because his whole life, one of his parents used to tell him what he did wrong, And even though he finished his schooling, he was ready to practice, he couldn't bring himself to do anything. Because he kept saying, but I'm really not good enough. I'm wrong at... And he'd have a whole long list of what he was wrong at. So I made him a deal. I said, promise me, let's do the following exercise. You take a piece of paper. We're going to write on this piece of paper my faults, where I'm wrong. And what I want you to do is, every time you have a negative thought, for the next day, write it down. Write down for yourself. I didn't wake up on time. I wasn't careful enough with my kavanah and the blessing. I didn't call my mom to wish her happy Mother's Day. Whatever complaints you have against yourself, write them. I should have been more focused when I did my studies in medical school. I'd be in a different place today. Every complaint you have against yourself, as it pops into your head during the day, write it. But when it pops into your head a second time, just put a times two. Put another check next to it. And after a day or two, see if you have new complaints against yourself, or it's the same complaints that you keep repeating. What do you think he discovered?
Same.
The same complaints. He keeps repeating the same issues he has with himself. So I said, okay, next step, I want you to carry that piece of paper in your pocket for the next week, and every time you have a negative thought, you have to tell yourself, wait, we discussed this. Set yourself a time, morning, noon, or night, you'll see what works best for you, where you take 5 minutes to look at that piece of paper and say, I am such a terrible person because I did A and I did B and I did C. I want you to know you have 5 minutes during the day when you're going to be hard on yourself. You're going to say, I am a terrible person because of all these things. But the rest of the day, every time a thought like that comes up, tell yourself, hey, I'm going to discuss this in 5 minutes. I'm going to have that 5 minute session, right? I know I'm wrong. I know I'm a terrible person. I know I have it all written here. We don't have to think about it, right? You understand the concept? Where were we trying to go with this exercise? Where are most people? On an average day, a person has so many negative thoughts. He keeps repeating the same negative thoughts about himself. It's not that he's so terrible. It's that he has certain negative thoughts that keep repeating themselves. He keeps telling himself, you know, I should have taken a shower this morning. I should have made it to class. I should have been focused. I should be davening. I should have never quit that course I was in the middle of. We have these things that we keep getting ourselves over. But that causes an erosion of the healthy happiness and balanced life that we should have, the healthy comfort level we should have with ourselves. We're very hard on ourselves. And it's not even new things. We keep repeating the same thing. My mom told me not to play ball next to her favorite vase, and it's still bugging me that I did, and I broke it. And I can never get it back. What are the issues each person has? That's his own little dark circle. But the fact that that circle can suddenly become a part of our personality, the fact that we can't escape that circle, that's a problem. So we have to create another piece of paper. A piece of paper that says, what's good about me? What do I like about myself? What have I done that's right? What do I do on a daily basis that's right? And that piece of paper, you will find, is never ending. You're not repeating the same thing daily. And if you are, you're doing something good daily. We have to be able to look in a realistic way and say, hey, I'm a good guy. I have a file, I call it the file that I'm not the worst person in the world file. Where I store all kinds of letters of appreciation and accomplishments, because I also have days when I wake up, or it's not when I wake up, it's when I do certain things that I say to myself, oh boy, I really feel like I'm the worst person in the world and I have a hard time living with myself. So I keep this file which I open up and I say, okay, I'm not the worst person in the world. Look, I did something with my life. I do have A and B and C, whatever accomplishments they are. So that's in a big, in a macro picture. But on the micro, A person has to look at his day and look at his life and see what's good. And there's a lot of good. We have a very hard time seeing it. I had a chavrusa in yeshiva that used to tell me the following line. And I couldn't stand when he said it. He used to say to me, "Why are you so hard on yourself? You don't even have to be religious. You don't even have to be in this country. You don't even have to be sitting in front of the Gemara. So you're keeping Shabbos and Kashrus, and you made Aliyah, and you're sitting in front of the Gemara, but you're beating yourself because you wish you would have woken up 5 minutes earlier, and you wish you would have been more focused, and you wish you would have accomplished more by now. Come on." So I didn't buy that because I held myself to a higher standard. But the concept is important. Meaning, what we do to ourselves is we hold ourselves to a standard that's just unfair. Could I be there today? One of the pieces of advice that Rav Feinstein told me repeatedly, and it frustrated me from the first time he said it. He said a line to me that really devastated me the first time he said it, and then he repeated it, I think, in every major conversation we had, it came up in a different way. But the first time he said it was when I was young in the yeshiva, trying to take advantage of every minute. I thought I had my schedule set up. I was really gauging when I went to sleep, when I woke up, what I was eating, when I was eating. Every minute had a cheshbon. And I thought I was really doing good, taking advantage of my time. And I asked him, I said, "You know, students are coming to consult with me. I'm volunteering as an eighth grade teacher. That's very nice. But how much time do I have to take when a student comes and wants to talk to me? How much time do I have to take from my schedule, my learning, and talk to the student?" So he said to me, "Give him the time he needs." And I said, "But I have my organized schedule. And if I give him that time..." So he said, "So take it back from your lunch break." So I said, "My lunch break is very organized. You know, I have the time I eat, and then I have the time I sleep, and then I have the time I learn, and where am I going to take it from?" So he looked at me, and here's the line, which again, it came up at different intervals. He said it in different ways. He looked at me and said, "You're not the grub." Okay? "You are not the grub." 5 words. And with that, my world crashed. So I had a little bit of respect. So I didn't answer him. But what I kept thinking was, with your instructions, I'm never going to be the grub. I'm not going to get there. Listening to you, I'm just not going to get there. So what would he answer that? What would he answer if I would have had the disrespect to tell him, "You know, with this system, I'm never going to get there"? You guys know? I think I know.
With your system, you never really get there. You're not the ground.
So I'm not sure that's what he would have said. I think he would have said, "You don't have to be the ground." Meaning, I was working off of the fairy tales I heard as a kid. And I set a very high standard, and I tried to live by that standard. You know, I'll tell you a true story. I was learning Tractate Erevin. I finished over 20 pages of Tractate Erevin. And suddenly I realized that I hadn't discerned between when the measurements were talking about Amma and Tefach. So here I was spending a month every night, 5-6 hours alone. After everyone left the Beis Medrash, I'm killing myself over the Gemara. And I realized that everything I did was worthless. Because the whole tractate is discussing measurements. And I didn't realize that there were really two measurements at play. A tefach and an amma. And one is a sixth of the other. Everything I did was worthless. I had nothing. What does it feel like after 4 weeks working? when everyone else went to sleep, you're still working? Scrap that. You missed something pretty basic, okay? So that depends on what you expect of yourself. If you walked into it saying, I have to be perfect. I wasn't perfect. I made a mistake. So that's where people get suicidal thoughts. That's where people start saying, what's life worth living? What am I doing here? 4 weeks and I got nowhere. Who knows? I'll spend another month. I'll also get nowhere. I'll tell you another story. I started learning for smicha. And I was learning under a program where they gave you questions as you were learning. You answered the questions when you finished all the material, then you could go and get your smicha. So the first question was about a concept called hadocha kamaisa. When you're coming to salt meat, so before you salt the meat, after an animal has been slaughtered, you have to wash the meat off and then salt it. Why do you wash the meat off before you salt it? So I learned the Beis Yosef, and I came up with 6 reasons among the different commentaries why you wash down the meat before you salt it. Okay, so I'm answering the first question, why do you wash it down? And I have 6 reasons. I look at a commentary, one of the rabbis who lived 250, 300 years ago, and he writes that everything the Beis Yosef said can be summed up as 2 reasons. You have to understand what he said, but you can divide all 6 into 2 reasons. You know what I did? I closed the books and said, forget me and smicha, because I don't know how to learn a word. Because I came up with 6 reasons. And he's telling me I didn't know how to read the Beis Yosef. You know what? I reread the Beis Yosef, and I still thought there were 6 reasons, and there was a difference, there were nuances of differences between each and every one. And I did not think you could couple them into 2 opinions. Again, I'm working really hard. I have a goal. And I'm being told, you're wrong. What do I do now? Do I walk out and say, so much for learning Torah, so much for Judaism, I guess this isn't for me. Let me tell you a secret. 6 years later, I came back to that same question. Why do we wash a piece of meat before we salt it? And again, I learned the Beis Yosef, and again, I came up with 6 reasons. And again, I learned the commentary that says, no, they boil down to 2. But by then, I knew to keep looking. And I found that the later commentaries look back and say, you can't say that. There are 6 reasons, and there are nuances of difference between each of the 6. And you cannot couple them up into 2 and say, 3 really say this, and 3 really say that. It's just not right. So, I'm not stupid after all. But, I didn't know that 5 years earlier. 5 years earlier, I said, gee, I guess I don't know how to read, because I don't see it. I'll tell you a final story. I walked into Merkaz Harav, walked into the lowest shir, was given the lowest chavrusa. And I walked into shir and I walked out and I couldn't understand what the lecturer was saying. So I'm standing there thinking, okay, why am I not understanding? I went to speak to other people in the class and they all understood. So I said, okay, I'll try again. I tried 1 week. I tried 2 weeks. I tried 3 weeks. I'm working really hard and I don't understand what he's talking about. I speak the language. I learned the material. And I couldn't understand what he wanted from my life. So I'm on the lowest shir, with the lowest chavrusa, and he understands and I don't. And I ask him, can you explain it to me? And I hear the words, and I say to him, I don't understand the logic and what you're telling me. Everyone else does. 60 people are listening to the same lecture. They all walk out saying the same lines. I don't. I'll give you an example of what he would say in a class. He'd say, does this concept fit into the set A or set B? We have a new concept. Is it part of set A or set B? The answer is it's set A and it's not set A. And I'd say, what does that mean? And they'd say, it means it's set A and it's not set A. And I'd say, I don't understand what you're telling me. What? Is it or isn't it? What are you telling me it is and it isn't? So I didn't know what they were saying. I'm sitting in the class and I didn't understand what's going on. You know that I spent the first year of yeshiva, higher yeshiva, yeshiva gvoha, learning only Mishnah and Tanakh. Only. I spent all day learning Tanakh and Mishnah. Because I said, obviously, I'm not cut out for Gemara. Because I can't cut it. The lowest shir, the lowest chavrusa, and I don't understand what's going on. So obviously, I'm lower than the lowest. So I got to start from scratch. So I took a Tanakh, and I took a Mishnah, and I started learning all day. Tanakh and Mishnah, taking notes and reviewing. And again, more Tanakh and more Mishnah. But you'd ask me to learn Gemara? Me? I don't know what I'm talking about. Obviously, I can't learn Gemara. But do you give up? Or do you say, okay, so I'm not where I thought I was. So I got to start somewhere else. And if I got to start somewhere else, I'll start there. Our problem is when we say, I should be there, but I'm not. So do I spend my life kicking myself? Do I spend my life saying, you know, I should be there, everyone else is there. I'm not there, so I'm obviously worthless. I'm going to spend my whole day kicking myself and saying I'm worthless. No. I think that's one of the key mistakes we make. We walk around kicking ourselves. We walk around saying, you know, I should be different. Who said? Was I given a chance to be different? Maybe I was. I didn't take advantage of it. I cannot change the past. I could do tshuva over it. I can define the future. My job is to start here and build from here. The first step in building is having healthy self-worth and self-esteem. And that means I'm not going to spend my time focusing on this piece of paper that's what did I do wrong. On the contrary, I'm going to have a recognition of what am I doing right. From there, I can start building. So step one is to attain that comfort level. I don't have to be someone else. I don't have to be somewhere else. This is where I am now. If I have regrets about the past, so I'll take a small segment of my week, not day, I don't have to do it on a daily basis. A small segment of my week or month, I'll look back, I'll do my tshuva, I'll have regrets, and I'll move forward. But I have to focus forward. In order to focus forward, I have to be able to see what I'm doing right today. From there, I can start looking forward. Now, healthy self-esteem and healthy self-worth do not have to be arrogance. Arrogance is when I start comparing. Arrogance is when I start saying, you know, I did this and you. I did this and only I did this. Arrogance is when I take what I've done and I turn it into a lie.
Wait a second. You said arrogance is not when you take what you have done and compare it to someone else?
No. If I'm going to start comparing, if I'm going to start saying, have you accomplished this? If I'm going to start saying, you know what I did? In other words, arrogance is when I take what I've done and now I want to lie about it. I want to lie about it in a few ways. Let me explain. Lie number one is that I leave God out of the picture. I take credit for a whole lot of things that are not my doing. There's a certain amount that is my doing. I had a choice whether to get out of bed this morning. I made that choice. I had a choice whether to put on tefillin this morning. I made that choice. Is that accomplishment astronomic? Do I say, look at me, I put on film this morning? Or do I say, look, I did something good? There's a balance. I can be truthful. Part of real self-worth is I could say, this is where I'm wrong and this is where I'm right. I'm not the worst person in the world. I'm not the best person in the world, but I'm a good person and I have good things about me. When I start needing to show other people that I'm worth something, needing to show them that I'm better than them, when I need to show them how great I am, really, I haven't come to a comfort level with what I'm good at. I think it's too late at night.
No, I'm thinking. I'm actually thinking very, trying to connect what you said.
There's a very basic distinction between a guy who comes in and says, you guys know what kind of kavana I had today in davening? It's going to rain today. I said, Mashi Baruch Mordecai, come on, you know what kavana I had? And it doesn't have to be so overt. It could be the guy who's shuckling away so that everyone around him sees that he has kavana. It could be the guy who goes out and buys that talis that has the silver linings so that everyone looks at him because he's the only one that has it. But what he's doing is, he's not recognizing what he's really worth, which is good. I'm saying he really has good worth if he'd only look at it. There is good about him. Instead, he's focused on, let me show them. It's me versus them. It's me versus God. That's our Bilam. That's our Avshalom, our Adoni Aven Chagit. When Avshalom has to tell the people, I'm a better king than David, you know you have a problem. He has to tell them, I would be a better king than my own father. That's arrogance. When Avshalom has to grow locks of hair so that everyone sees his beauty, that's arrogance. If Avshalom had self-worth, he wouldn't have to show everyone his real self-worth. The greater one's self-worth, the less he needs to show others. And humility doesn't contradict self-worth.
Explain that.
Moshe Rabbeinu spends hours arguing with God. Where in the world will you find a replacement for me? Look at what I've done. The most humble of men, we have pages of discussion where Moshe says, wait a second. Look at what I did. I split the sea. Look at what I did. Meaning there's an aspect where Moshe did accomplish and he knows his accomplishments. And when he's discussing with God and he has to make his case and say, I do not deserve to die. So he's going to go through his whole history. And you see page after page, Moshe says. God says, but you know, look at Avram, he died. Moshe says, yeah, look at Avram. Did he bring down the Torah? He has an answer. God says, look at Yitzchak. Moshe says, did Yitzchak daven about an egel? Yitzchak had a son, Esav. Did he save him? I had a whole people on the verge of annihilation. I stood up there and I davened. I'm making it up. I don't remember the details of what argument was about Avram, Yitzchak, Adam. I'm not sure I'm getting it right. I'm saying the Medrash gives us a long list of arguments. For every argument God gives, he tells them, look at this great person in world history, that great person, they all died.
So when a truly humble person doesn't have to defend his self-worth to God, what's the behavior of a humble person? What does it mean to be humble versus arrogant? If arrogance means that you have to flaunt your accomplishments and your self-worth to others so that they recognize it, because they're, upon their recognition, it boosts your ego. What is the opposite of that? That is humility.
That's why we find such a stress on a mitzvah that's done in modesty. On a mitzvah that's done where no one knows. What's called matan beseter. Give charity where no one will know about it. Give charity where even the pauper doesn't know about it. And there are mitzvos which no one will know about. I'll give a small example. Two small examples. A person's lying in bed and his mind wanders to places it shouldn't be. No one knows if he spends more time wandering or less time wandering. And this could be as he's falling asleep at night. This could be as he's on a bus. This could be as he's in the street. It's here. It's God and you. A person goes into the bathroom and his mind starts thinking Torah. You ever notice you don't have this problem when you're walking down the street? But you walk into the bathroom, suddenly psukim come in, midrashim come in, your mind is filled with Torah. No one's going to know what he does. Is he going to take his mind off it or not? There are many opportunities that we have to be true to our ideals. No one has to know about it. No one will know about it. But I should know about it and see the good in me for it. I shouldn't walk around all day and keep saying, you know, I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I could have done this and I could have done that and I should have done this and I should have done that. There are so many things we beat ourselves up over. And that's wrong. That's not tshuva. That's self-effacing. We knock ourselves down. No, that's not productive. Productivity is, I know my worth, I know my strengths, and I know I'm going to keep working. And that's not arrogance. Again, I proved it from the story of Moshe. He doesn't spend his life flaunting anything. He's the most humble of men. But when he needs it in his argument, you see, he knew everything. It didn't contradict his humility. So a person has to know, these are my accomplishments. I am a good person. I have contributed. Working off of that. Okay, now what do I have to do next? Positive. We look positively to accomplish. There's much, much, much more to be said, but I think this is enough to think about. Let's start here, and Bezrat Hashem, next time we'll continue.